It was Sunday, and Father was especially spellbinding in his homily that he was delivering, because he was delivering a homily about the end times. And he says, prepare yourselves, for the end is coming. The waters of the oceans will rise and sweep across the land. The sky will light up with fire. Volcanoes will spew lava. And the earth's going to quake beneath all of our feet. Prepare yourselves because the end is coming. Little Johnny was next to his father. His father just captured by the priest's oratory. Johnny tugged his shoulder, his sleeve and said, Dad, Dad. Father a little frustratingly looked down and said, Yes, John, what is it? And he said, You think they'll call off school on Monday? You know, when we start talking about end times, it's really relative. And it's even relative today when we talk about end times. We are talking about end times because part of the end times we are talking about, this is the penultimate, the second to the last Sunday of the whole liturgical year. Suddenly become a new liturgical year. We celebrate Christ the King, which is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. And then the next Sunday is Advent, where we go into a whole new cycle again. So in one sense, this is an end time for the whole celebration of our entire liturgical year. So we have to prepare ourselves. For Christ is coming. Christ is coming, and we proclaim him as King. So in one sense, it's an end time. But in another sense, we are reminded that there is going to be an end time. And that's set for us by Malachi, the prophet. Now, we always have to keep in mind that when we talk about prophets, immediately we jump to prophecy. We kind of think that he's foretelling something about the future. When actually what the prophet did is a prophet was an observer, a holy man, an observer of what was going on right within his community. And guess what? In Malachi's time, about 450 to 480 BC, we are talking about Malachi looking at the Israelite community and saying, hey, you're no longer dependent upon God. Oh, yes, when times are tough and all of a sudden we feel the stress, we feel the pain, we feel the suffering, we're down on our knees saying, oh, God, help me, assist me, be a part of my life. But when times get a little bit better, when it's not there, we kind of push God off to the side. We no longer feel we need to rely upon the Lord. We push God off to the side. Sound familiar? Sound familiar as a community? Pushing God off to the side. We don't need you, God. We need you when we believe we need you. We don't hold you to be the center of our lives, but only when it's convenient. I just have to remind you that about a little over a decade ago, we watched the Twin Towers being destroyed. In horror, we saw it on television, broadcasted throughout the entire nation, that these two edifices of economic, social prestige were now crumbling before our eyes. And I can tell you, in terms of the statistical analysis, the 2 weeks following the destruction of the Twin Towers, people were in church. People were praying. In fact, honestly, there were people even knocking at the doors of the churches when they were locked that very evening, saying, let us in so we can be here in the safety and the presence of God, calling upon his assistance and his protection. But what happened after the 2 weeks? The statistics started to go down. We were kind of safe. We didn't need God. You go back to kind of putting God in his place rather than in the center of our lives. Malachi is doing that. Malachi is warning his people. And as all prophets do, when they warn their people, he is seeing clearly what the consequences of their actions mean. For the community, the Israelites, it means ultimately destruction. It means the fact that they're opening themselves up to the decay that comes in when we pull away from God. And in that sense, yeah, prophecy, looking at the future, absolutely. But it's looking at the future by analyzing what's happening now. We can all do that, and we know we've all done it at some time. We can take a look at our walkways during the winter, and we see the ice piling up on our walkways, and immediately we kind of say, we better get some salt on there, because if we don't, what's going to happen? Someone will slip and fall. Someone will hurt themselves. Is that prophetic? It's analyzing what the truth is and what the consequences will be. And that's what the prophets do. Here we have Jesus in the gospel talking about the beautiful edifice of the temple. Take a look at this temple that we have, this church that we have. And here Jesus is looking at those who are there and saying, there won't be a stone left upon a stone in this building. It's going to be turned into rubble. How could that be? That edifice represented the very heart and the soul of the Israelite community. It was the place where the sacrifice took place, where the relationship with God was established, where people offered their petitions and their prayers. And at Jesus' warning, that unless it's manifested in terms of their own sense of God's presence as the center, even this edifice will be destroyed. And in 70 AD, the Romans swept over and destroyed the temple. It's reported that some over 1 million Israelites were killed by the Romans, and almost 100,000 taken into captivity. Literally destroyed. Literally wiped away. And that was a prediction by Jesus, a prediction based upon the fact that individuals needed to turn towards God interiorly, to be base their whole presence upon the relationship with God. In our world today, we rarely believe we're going to be judged. Isn't it true? Take a look at in terms of anybody talking about death. Any of the so-called social commentators, even when they talk about an afterlife, everybody's going to heaven. Everybody's seeing the light. Everybody's embracing the light. Well, I tell you, if you read sacred scripture and you take God for his word, every one of us will be judged. Every one of us will be held accountable. That's the truth of the scripture. Take a look at Matthew 25. Jesus is not saying that just in order to encourage us to do good here and now. It's for here and after. It's our responsibility. It's what's been given to us in terms of our dignity. And our dignity called to share and to proclaim that dignity in others. We're going to be held accountable. We're going to be judged. You see, when we talk about end times, for the believer, the end times are not bad. Because for the believer, realize, and those of us here, that the end times, Jesus is coming, it's just the beginning for us. For the non-believer, it's oblivion. There's nothing. For the believer, yes. God will come and life-given. I'm not trying to sell you life insurance policies here this morning. I am selling you eternal life insurance policies. And I'm saying that in terms of your prayer, your relationship, your worship with God, your reconciliation, your seeking forgiveness, you're holding yourself accountable for the actions and the statements in the gospel will be those things which before God will be judged. What really lasts in the end, and this is why Jesus, it's so important to stay in our relationship with Jesus, what lasts forever is only love. And the love that we share. And the love that we give to one another. And the love that we promote. And it's all seen in that person of Jesus. Because he is the ultimate sign of love. He is the gift from God the Father to us. And his sign of love is basically that cross. His sign of love is that cross, an unconditional giving of self for others. So that's why he becomes the model. And that's why he can tell us that in our commitment to him, that commitment of love, that love for him, which generates love for others, that commitment is what elevates us, which gives us our dignity, which holds us up, which offers us hope, even in the face of persecution and suffering. And there is suffering in the world for those who are believers. And there's suffering even now in our country for those who are believers. Ridiculed for being Christian. Ridiculed. And that's not new for Catholics. That's been true since the founding of this country for Catholics. But our hope is not found in the acceptance. Our hope is found in our commitment and our faithfulness to that Christ who is the cross. And therefore we bear it proudly because it's a sign of our commitment to Christ. So if it's suffering, then bring it on. Bring it on because it's a statement that I can make of the assurance of my love for Christ and therefore my love for my brothers and sisters. The believer is not afraid of the end times. The believer is only worried about whether he or she is prepared. And by doing the things that the Lord sets out for us, we will be prepared to face our God and to make an accounting. An accounting in which hopefully our Lord will respond, "Welcome, good and faithful servant. Come into the kingdom that's been prepared for you from the beginning of time." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.